people today. And so I know that for the most part here today, we understand that we are all called of God and that we're all to be a part of the ministry in different roles, different gifts, different capacities, but we all are to be involved in ministry. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, where it describes that fivefold ministry, the apostle and the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers, that fivefold ministry is gifted to the church, a gift to the church, and their primary role is to strengthen and to bless the rest of the body, to equip them so that they can fulfill the ministry that they have. Amen. And so that's what the pastor does. That's what the apostle and the evangelist and all these different roles, they are to equip you. And you know, too often we have kind of settled in with this thinking that we go to church, we go there and we want to hear something that will encourage us. We want to be blessed, we want to receive. And that's what church tends to become. It just becomes the place where we come and we're strengthened, we're helped, but there's never the following through of the biblical concept of the fact that we receive all these things so that we can become a channel. We're blessed in all these ways so that we take this blessing and we confer it on others. And we're blessed and we're encouraged and we're edified so that we can find out, Lord, what is it that you want to do in my life? And how are my gifts and my callings going to be realized? And it will happen. That's really the function of the church, that we come together and that we go forth out of the church to accomplish the purpose of God. That is what ministry is all about. And as we're facing great, great challenges in these last days, we understand that we are living in no doubt the most challenging times ever that the church has ever faced. The church has often faced opposition, persecution, many challenging things down through the centuries that the church has suffered and they have endured. And in spite of all, they have not just survived, but the church has thrived and the work of God continues even to this day. And so we are in the last days. We understand that the closer we get to the end of this age and the coming of the Lord Jesus, that the pressures are on. There's a whole new level of intensity that we're experiencing now. We need a ministry that is sufficient for this last day. Amen. I'm so thankful for how that God has used preachers and various ministries and different churches in my past. And I've been so blessed to be under great men of God and to be in churches learning and developing. And it's always such an encouragement and a blessing. And I mentioned this in a few services back, that what was experienced in the past, even in my past, is not sufficient for today. Amen. We need something for right now. We need a ministry that is sufficient for this day. In the beginning, at the very ground level, it has to begin in your life and in my life with us understanding that we cannot do it. We can't do it. That's what the Apostle Paul is describing here, where he says that our sufficiency is not enough. Not for us to think that we could ever do anything or accomplish anything. Our sufficiency is of God. It is only by the help of the Lord and by the strengthening. So I think, and this is what's impressed upon me just in recent days, and that is, Lord, I need to be praying and asking you to give to me that which is sufficient for the day that we're faced with right now. We need to be able to receive from the Lord and hear the voice of the Lord. We are living in a culture that opposes God, and all around us, there is a religious system that has failed many. Many, many. While there are many people who are sitting in churches across this country today, there are many, many people who have walked away from the church. They have been failed by the church. The church has not met their needs. The church has not touched their life, and so they've walked away from the church because we just get into the formality and the routine of just coming to church, and all of us built inside of us is this desire to be something that's usable, something that accomplishes something, that there be a meaningful purpose for all of our life. And that doesn't end when you become a Christian. That's when it really becomes a reality to you that God has a design and a purpose, and you're really only going to be fulfilled as you find that place and you step forward to be that minister that God has made you to be. As the church, I'm talking about our church, local church, I don't want to fail. And I certainly don't want to fail the generation that's growing up in our classes, in our services. I don't want to fail a generation that's coming on and for them to walk away thinking, there is nothing about that. It was just a form. There was no power. There was no reality. There was no nothing in what was going on there that was really just real and powerful and life-changing. And it's because we get into a routine of just going to church and having church, and we have no real voice of the Lord. Every few months, we hear of some high-profile minister that has been disgraced. And it's a continual thing of disappointment and rejection, oftentimes in the body of Christ. And so for me, I just in my praying about this, Lord, how can we face the challenges of these days? How can we do it? It's an overwhelming culture that's opposing God, opposing the things of God. But it's in the midst of all this that we need to be reminded that what God is calling us to is just to get back to the foundation, get back to the basis of who we are and what we believe, just to go back to the simplicity of Jesus Christ and the truth of the Word of God. Amen. Just get back to basics. Amen. Get back to this acknowledgement of our dependence upon Him. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Nothing that I can do, no creative idea, no solution man-made is going to bring us up to that level that we're going to be able to meet the challenges of this day. I hear people and even read after people from time to time in the church and in ministry who are talking about having a ministry that's cutting edge, that ministry is, what they're describing is, you are with it. You're up to date and you know what's going on in your world, and your ministry is touching the lives of those that are right now in great need of hearing the voice of the Lord. The only thing that can give us that cutting edge, the only thing that causes us to be able to touch lives, penetrate the hearts of people, is to get back to the basics, that we are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. And nothing else. Nothing of ourselves. It was the Apostle Paul who was well-trained, well-educated. Do we need a more literate clergy? Is that what we need? Do we need more training, more education? Not that it's a bad thing, but if any of these things cause us to be self-sufficient, then it's only going to be our destruction. We have to come again back to the place that we're willing to say, oh Lord, in and of ourselves we can do nothing. Without you, Lord, we can do nothing. We have nothing. We have nothing to offer to the world. And we're no match for the culture that we're in right now. We're just not. Amen. The only answer is a ministry that is working in all of our lives, and that we know Jesus. And we know the heart of God, and we are drawing closer to Him, and we're developing this walk with the Lord that causes us to hear His voice and to know the answers for these days. It's only the Lord that knows how to touch the lives of people that are messed up, wrecked, and ruined by all of the things that are going in our world today. Such a desperate world that's so far removed from God, and the only thing that can cause us to be able to touch them is to have the heart of God, because he so loved the world. And that includes those that are out here on the edge, that those that are living their lives so far removed from the knowledge of God. It's only the heart of God that is reaching for that person. And we have to have his heart if we're going to be able to touch them. John 15 describes this imagery, this picture of that person abides in the vine. He abides in the vine. And as he does, when he abides in the vine, then he is able to bring forth much fruit. And then the last phrase of John 15 in verse 5 says, "For without me you can do nothing." Doesn't that ever ring very powerfully in your heart, in your mind? That if I am not close to the heart of God, if I'm not hearing his voice, I have nothing to offer. Nothing to offer. If we really want a ministry that's going to have an impact in these last days, we've got to have the heart of God. We've got to know him. We've got to walk with him and be close to him. You see, if the fruit or the branch is separated from the vine, then we know what happens. It immediately loses its life. It immediately begins to shrivel, and eventually it is completely shriveled up and dead. Jesus said, you have to stay attached to me. If you're detached from me, then you lose anything that you have that's life-giving, anything that has force or power to touch the lives of people. So as we stay attached to him, then we have something to offer to this world. It's a closeness. It's an intimacy that is so needed in the church and the body of Christ, that we're walking with the Lord. We're spending time and we are attached to Jesus Christ and to the things of God. Marcia and I have been married a long, long time, 37 years. That's a long time. And after that many years, you get to know one another pretty well. And I know she knows me. She knows, I don't have to say a word. She knows if I'm discouraged. She knows if I'm not feeling all that good. She knows I can just hint something. And she, before I can even say it, is already trying to take care of my problem. It's pretty amazing, really. And I can say something like, after we get off of a trip, "Where are all my socks? I can't find all my socks. They're gone." The next day. The very next day, I've got a drawer full of new ones. I can just say a few words like that. I'm not even meaning go buy me socks. I'm just saying, what happened? And I know that I've left them or lost them or the dryers eat them or something. And but she just knows. And it really has to do with the fact that we're together every day. And she knows me and I know her. And so there's this closeness and there's this understanding of one another. Let me tell you, even at a much deeper level, our walk with the Lord needs to be that way. Yes. Amen. That we're walking with him, we're talking with him, we're in fellowship with him. He knows your needs and you know the heart of God. And you're wanting to be in step with God. If you want to be on the cutting edge and be used of God in these last days to face the challenges of these days, walk with the Lord. Spend time with the Lord. Every ministry is born out of intimacy and closeness and fellowship and time that is spent with the Lord. And quite frankly, we spend all of our time or too much of our time on everything else, and the Lord is pushed back. And we think, I can make it. What we are really saying is that our sufficiency is of ourself. I know what to do. I know how to meet the challenges of these days. But we need to face the reality that there are needs, there are problems that do not have a solution outside of Jesus Christ. There's a culture today that is opposing God, and they can't hear your voice or my voice. They have to hear the heart of God. And the only way you can have his heart is to spend time with the Lord. Amen. David Wilkerson calls what is going on in these last days, he calls it a conspiracy of interruptions. And it's true. He said, anytime you determine and you set your heart to draw nearer to God, to get closer to God, the enemy will throw all of these things into your pathway to interrupt you and to stop you from being able to have that time with the Lord. It's true. I can remember all of my life in church, pastors warning us, if you spend time in front of the television, it's going to sap your victory. And all of that time is going. It's going to take out all of this strength and energy that you need. It's a distraction, a time consumer that you don't need. We all have heard and obeyed and sometimes ignored some of those kind of instructions. But in reality, we live in a world today that's much more complicated than it was 25 or 30 years ago. Now the interruption is right in our pocket. It's right in our hand that people feel like that they're helpless. Someone just told me the other day that their phone was tore up and they had to send it off. And they were just like miserable. It's like somebody in their family had died. They were grieving over it. And there were several days before they were going to get it back. And they just were so looking forward to the time when they could get that because they were so technologically, I didn't get the word out right. You know what I'm talking about. So dependent upon technology. So dependent. You say, oh, that's funny. That's crazy. It is, but it's reality. It's reality. In Europe, they just recently did some polling. The average person now that has a cell phone is 9 years old and up. And I didn't realize that could possibly be the truth until I was in the elementary learning center this week. And every day I would have to say to them, because I would hear a little beep or a little sound, and I would say, everybody needs to turn your cell phone in, and the little basket on the desk would fill up. And all these little elementary kids all have a cell phone. And right in their hands, they're in contact with just about everything. Now, I'm not saying that it's evil in itself. I'm just saying that there is a conspiracy of interruptions. There's a conspiracy of that keeps us from God and keeps us from the Word of God and it keeps us from prayer. And we couldn't spend a half an hour in prayer without checking our Facebook status or checking and to see if we've got an email or checking what the latest post might be or who's put a picture up on Facebook or whatever might be going on. We're becoming so addicted to that we have no time for God, no time for the things of God. Are you with me? Oh, it's a conspiracy of interruptions by the enemy. Now, our kids live a long way off. It's a blessing to us because we're able to see pictures of our grandbabies and stay in connection with them. And so I'm grateful for it. I'm not saying throw your cell phone in the trash. I'm just saying don't allow it to control your life. And don't let it sap out your spiritual strength. Don't allow anything for that matter. It may not be, some of you might be shaking your head saying, yeah, that's great. And you don't have a cell phone, and you don't have all these things. But there's something that the enemy's thrown in your pathway too. And it's an interruption in your life. It's distracting you from spiritual things. Did you know that more than one half of the world's population has some form of a cell phone? One half of the world's population, between 3 and 4 billion people have it. I mean, they have it. That means if you can't find your way, if you don't know where you are, your cell phone will tell you where you are. If you don't know how to get where you want to go, it will tell you. It will tell you where all your family and friends, what day their birthday is. It tells you where they are and where they're going. It tells you if they're in a good mood that day or a bad mood. It's unbelievable. As Brother Randy Webb said, too much information. Too much information. And what we need to understand is that behind many of these things, the enemy is using them as tools to distract us. We can't spend 30 minutes with the Lord. We can't spend 30 minutes in prayer. We can't get alone with the Lord. And as a result of that, we have no intimacy. We're detached from the vine. And because of that, we don't have any life. We have nothing to offer. We don't have a ministry. That's a grieving thing to consider. That our ministry could be stolen away from us by our world and our society today. We need a ministry that is sufficient for the day. We need to be able to touch the lives of people that are around us for the glory of God. And it's going to be born out of time with the Lord. It's going to be born out of fellowship with the Lord and communion with God. The Apostle Paul, he understood that. He set aside all of his pedigree. He set aside all of his training, all of his education, everything. And he said, I have determined, it means I've decided, I have determined to not know anything among you. I'm putting aside all of these things. I've determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. He was doing what we're describing today. He was just getting right back to the foundational important truth. I've determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. It's just saying, I didn't depend on my natural ability. I come to you understanding. I come to you in humility, understanding that I'm not going to be able to accomplish what I am on this earth to accomplish unless there is this dependence upon the Lord. People who spend time in the presence of the Lord, people who pray and people who spend time in the Word, they are people who are dependent on God. They're trusting God. And when we don't pray, when we don't seek the Lord, then we think we can do it on our own. We're able to get this done in our own power, but in reality, we cannot. We're going to fail. We're going to fail this society. We're going to fail this last day culture if we do not have a ministry that is born out of a intimacy and the knowledge of the Lord and the heart of God, that we'd spend enough time that we would hear his heart and know what he once said and know how he wants to use us in these last days, that we might be able to reach our world. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Time with the Lord. And you go back and you read some of these books like Ian Bounds on prayer, and these different ones like Leonard Ravenhill, these different ones who wrote about the necessity of prayer and intimacy with the Lord in order to be able to touch the lives of people. It's very convicting. It's very convicting when you read of those who had such a worldwide impact and you think, Lord, I want to touch people's lives, but are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to silence the world and to silence all these distractions and to be alone with the Lord and to hear the voice of the Lord? I have to tell you, after all these many years, personally, the times when I have set aside and got alone with the Lord and sought the Lord has dealt with me and spoke to me and has given me what I needed for that time and even helped me in ministry, challenging situations in ministry. Amen. Because all of us can do what we do out of routine. But what if we were doing what we were doing out of the heart of God? What if our ministry was born in the presence of God and that we were following his presence? That our Sunday school classes would fill up, because we would not just have studied a little while, but we will have the heart of God, and it touches people. It affects their lives for time and eternity whenever there's that kind of a ministry. You can have the routine. Preachers can learn, you know, how to put together a message, a three-pointer, a four-pointer. You know, after a while, you kind of learn the routine of it. But the reality is this, that we more than just, a sermonizing, there has to be this preparation of the heart. And, oh, how I know this so well. How I know this so well. And those of you that have ministered in the pulpit or been trying to be used of the Lord in some capacity in ministry, it all comes back to, is your heart prepared? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Have you spent enough necessary time before the Lord in the presence of the Lord that you know you're not just coming up with a topic, but you've heard from God? You're hearing the voice of the Lord, and you're in contact with the will of God. You see, the heart that is touched by God is a person that is able to touch the hearts of people. If our ministry is just intellectual, it only affects the intellect. But if our ministry is of God and it's from his heart, then we have been touched
by his heart, then our heart will touch the hearts of people. They will sense that it's from the Lord. They will understand that this is truly the voice of the Lord. Luther says, he who has prayed well has studied well. That person had spent enough time in the presence of the Lord that he has something to offer. The scripture says, we are not sufficient. Our sufficiency is of God, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. It's him that enables us. It's him that gives us the strength and the ability to succeed in ministry. I've seen just about every type of ministry that there is, I would suppose, although they're coming up with new things. I've sat under preachers who had very little knowledge as far as educational ability, but yet they spent nights in prayer. I've told you many times about the pastor that I grew up under. He had a third grade education, but he would spend usually every Saturday night the entire night in his study. His prayers were usually, you could hear him praying quite a ways off. They were deep prayers. Sometimes groaning prayers and agonizing prayers. When he stood up, he didn't have this great vocabulary, but he communicated with his heart. He touched people's lives with his heart. He had been with Jesus. He had been in the presence of the Lord. And then I've been under other people also. Even though they did have the qualifications and education, they too had not allowed themselves to lean solely upon that ability. But they too have spent time with the Lord. Their heart has been touched, and then they were able to communicate the gospel. I'm not saying that training or education isn't important. I believe it's very, very valuable and very important. But never, ever can you ever be able to substitute any of those things for a heart that has been touched by God, touched by the presence of God, that has been spent enough time in the presence of the Lord, that you hear his voice and you know his heart, and what you are speaking and communicating is from the heart of God. Oh, how important that is. And I pray that the Lord would give us here at this location a ministry that is sufficient for these last days. Otherwise, we're faced with hopeless circumstances. We're up against challenges of these last days. Then unless we have the touch of God upon our lives, we are not going to be able to meet the challenge. Amen. Hallelujah. As I said, every ministry is born out of closeness and intimacy with the Lord. But I want you to know that most of our problems and our burdens and the defeats that we experience in our life are the result of neglecting that with the Lord, that time with the Lord. And I want you to be challenged and open your heart today what the Lord is wanting to do in your life. Let's stand together. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you have talked to me and dealt with me. And I'm grateful, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, because I too often just try in my own strength. Too often, Lord, I don't take the time to hear your voice. I know many of us here today, we have to be honest with you, Lord. We failed in this respect. And as a result, we're greatly lacking. We're greatly lacking. There's a lot of weakness. There's a lot of inability to really have effective ministry. So, Lord, would you prepare us, everyone? Lord, would you stir us? Would you just stir up our nest of ease, our nest of complacency, Lord? Would you help us to see that we need to come out of this, and we need to reach out to you, Lord, and put our complete trust in you. Oh, God. Oh, God. Speak to men and women here today. Speak to young people. Speak to each individual here today. Hallelujah. Oh, we do thank you, Lord. We do thank you. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah.